This is the Daybreak Podcast with Russell Bowers from CBC Radio 1.
The story takes place in a quiet lakeside community. Jean Hormarsh is the quintessential neighbor, but an experience with death creates a watershed moment for Jean. She decides to save her female friends from the torment of growing old. Practical Jean is a new novel from Trevor Cole, and it follows up his first two novels, Norman Bray and the Performance of His Life, as well as The Fearsome Particles. The new book is described as a black comedy and a wicked take on female friendships. And I'm pleased to say that novelist Trevor Cole has joined me for the Daybreak Christmas Book Podcast. How are you doing, Trevor?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. How's the big press junket going?
Oh, it's fun. I love staying in hotels and searching for a place for a Starbucks coffee every morning. Where do I get my coffee?
That's around just about every corner, isn't it?
They usually are, yeah. I had to wander the streets looking for a place to eat, and that was fun.
I mean, you've been doing this press for a while, you know, in terms of your writing career, but your mother was a talk show host.
Actually, my grandmother was.
Grandmother.
That was Elaine Cole. She was like the first TV talk show host to do like a mid-morning Oprah Winfrey sort of show where you have guests and you interview them. And she interviewed Colonel Sanders, for instance, one time. She may, I think, have even interviewed Pierre Trudeau at some point. So she had whatever celebrity was going through town, or I have a picture on my wall of my grandmother interviewing the Ontario Dairy Queen, you know, with the big sash across her chest. And she did that for about 20 years.
Was this local?
This was in Kitchener-Waterloo, local CTV station.
Right.
The network wanted her to come to Toronto to do a network show, and she declined for whatever reason. I think it had something to do with the fact that she had two children at that stage and no husband on the horizon. And so she didn't. But she was a big hit. And then she got rheumatoid arthritis and had to stop.
Did you learn anything from her in terms of how to be a good guest?
She always was. And I was on her show as a kid a couple of times. I remember I was on it as a 4-year-old and as an 8-year-old. Apparently her viewers loved to be kept up to date with what was happening with her grandchildren. So.
I know that bloggers and reviewers have been writing about your book and talking about your book. What's your response to what's being said about Practical Jean?
I think overall the response has been great. It's interesting to me. It's every time you put out a new book, you don't know how people will react. And you have your own opinions of the book. And then it's interesting to see how the book collides with the opinions of others. And one thing I've noticed that's interesting to me is the majority of newspaper reviews are written by men. And there are a lot of blogging websites focused on books. They tend to be written by women. And to my reading of it, women get this book better than men do. A woman is more likely to understand this book than a man. For instance, all of the write-ups that have been on blogs have been raves, and then the reviews have been hit and miss. Some men really seem to get it and like it, and then there are others that don't seem to, because it's a book about female friendships and a mother's death and the effect that has on a daughter. It's all very oriented around a woman's psychology. And it seems as though that's a leap some men can't make. As I was writing the book, I was really trying to be true to a woman's sensibilities. You know, that was a challenge I'd given myself. Maybe I've been successful to the degree that some men can't relate. It's interesting to me.
I've heard Practical Jean described as a black comedy about the middle class. What did you have to do, or did you have to do a lot to get inside that mindset, to get inside those female relationships?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have heard the black comedy of the middle class, and I never thought of it as a class comedy. I thought of it as a comedy about friendships between women. I find relationships and conflicts within relationships interesting. You know, that's good subject matter. And so for the last few years, I have watched the women in my life, my wife and others, and their friendships and how there are interesting conflicts. And it's not all peaches and cream, you know, even if you have a close friend. The waters are sometimes rippled. My mother is Another example of somebody whose friendships were very, very important to her, and she kept a lot of people around her that she had known for decades. That was fascinating to me, that you could, as a man, it doesn't come as easily to men as it does seems to women, the notion of cultivating and nurturing friendships. I personally, and I don't know many men who do that inherently well.
I've been thinking about this concept of the bromance lately, you know, and this idea that we have to romanticize guys being buddies.
Yeah, it's almost like it's an object of fun to imagine two guys being really close. We have to somehow skew it and mock it because it's so unusual. I think it is possible for two men to have a close friendship, and that was to a degree part of what my second book was about. The Fearsome Particles, a friendship between two men was very – two sort of young men. But I still don't think it comes naturally to us. And I think part of what's going on there with the bromance comedies, there's an awkwardness to it that it makes for good humor. So my challenge was to sort of mine the humorous potential of female friendships. And so – the reaction seems to suggest that I've managed to do it.
Well, from what I know about your technique, you aren't necessarily a guy who sits down with a plot and
right.
then peoples it.
Yeah. I start with a character usually. In this case, I started with a character and a premise. Normally, I don't start with a premise. I like to find the character and build the story around the character. So the first novel, Norman Bray, built around this narcissistic actor. The second book was about a control freak executive. And this book I wanted to write from a woman's point of view. But in this case, I felt like I wanted to build it around a dark, complex premise. And I searched for a while, just let my mind wander. I thought maybe originally it would be a quest, a revenge quest for Jean. And then I thought, no, there's something too tried and true about that. I wanted to mix it up. So I thought, what if my character was actually a loving person, actually somebody who was thinking good thoughts as she did something terrible. And as soon as I kind of twisted it that way, then the idea just slammed into me and I knew I had the full premise in my head. And then the plot sort of just spilled out from there.
And did that technique help in developing a female character and what her
motivation? Well, it's always good to know where you're going. And I tend to think in terms of building a map for a story as opposed to plot sequence. And a map has road marks on it. You know that you need to wind up here at some point and then you need to wind up over there at another point. But how you get to those landmarks, you can sort of make up as you go along. And that gives you a certain flexibility so that you can go with spontaneous discoveries. There's a character in this book, Fran, who was a spontaneous discovery. I hadn't planned to write about her. She emerged in a scene early on in the book, and suddenly she became one of the crucial thematic underpinnings for the book. I realized as I was writing her how important she was, and thank goodness I discovered her, or she happened upon me.
How much does this reflect how men and women communicate?
Yeah, I mean, I've always felt that the guys were activity-oriented, so you could be together as friends if you were doing something like playing pool or cheering for a football team or seeing how many beers you could drink, whereas women, I think, are much more comfortable sharing space, sharing thoughts and ideas without any particular goal in mind other than to just continue the friendship. But that doesn't mean that there aren't interesting shifts and vexations and rivalries and things that creep in. Who knows? Maybe those things happen because it's kind of open-ended. That was what I was kind of intrigued by.
What did you learn about the women in your own life?
Well, I had great respect for and had even more respect for my mother after this process just because I knew she how much work. You know, as you write a book, you do tap into the mindset of the people you're writing about and through. And you do understand things you wouldn't have understood before. So I had a greater sense of what it's like to maintain a friendship and to think about your friends. And so I have huge respect for my mother for having – she was in her 70s, mid-70s when she died just recently. And but she still had friends from early high school. And that's a remarkable achievement, I think. I also – Jean is a woman who loses her mother early on in the book. When the book begins, her mother has just died of this terrible cancer. And so this affects Jean in a profound way. She embarks on this rather horrific quest as a result. I hadn't lost my mother when I started writing the book. And in fact, I had finished the book and Mom was still alive. And then she died before the book came out. But it had a profound effect on me in a way I wasn't really expecting. You know, I'd lost my father a few years before. Losing my mother had a different effect on me. It was something elemental about losing your mom. And so as I was writing the book, it was like Jean understood how much of an impact that could have, even a greater insight than I had, even as I was writing Jean. And so reading the book now, after having gone through the process of losing my mother, I'm kind of surprised at how close I got to the actual truth of mm-hmm. how profound it is.
How pleased are you, or what's your response to the impact that Jean is having so far with her readers and her cast of characters?
Yeah, I mean, I'm delighted. Whenever I go to readings now, so many readers of fiction are women. Well, thank God that there's a reliable audience for good fiction. And so I'm always intrigued by how women will react to Jean and to this thing that I'm putting her through. And it's terrific because I see this sea of grinning faces. I've touched a nerve or something. So that's really gratifying.
Trevor Cole, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, it was a great pleasure.
This is the Daybreak Podcast with Russell Bowers from CBC Radio 1.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.